From my 40-04. There you go.
I'm with easy money. We get easy money.
Man, it's out foot.
Gang!
Yeah. Hey, I got the answers, I got the answers, I got the answers.
Oh, you do?
I got the answers, I got the answers, I got the answers.
Okay, cool.
They had my answers, we bout that action, we had facts.
I'm with the mayor, South Fulton, and he say facts.
Let's go.
I got the answers, I got the answers, I got the answers.
I got the answers,
I got the answers, I got the answers.
Let's go.
They had my answers, we bout that action, we had facts.
I'm with the mayor, South Fulton, and he say facts.
Falcons fans, what's going on, guys? I know you hear this a lot, especially in the last three seasons, but that was a tough one. That was a tough one to swallow, but I'm not going to get into the negatives as much as I am the positives, because when you look at that team and you look at that game, there is a clear difference between last year and this year. The clear difference is we gave up no sacks last year. We were the worst line in the league. We also, on the flip side, got 5 sacks. Which we were like last in the league, and pressure, I think we got 15 sacks last year, so we're already 5 in. It didn't look like it, I know, because you got the same result of the years past, but like I'm telling you, this team got way better, and everything we said was going to happen kind of came true. So, like I said, we knew the offense was looking different last year. Marcus Mariota has to do better, play better, but I don't think he can play better. I think Arthur Smith did a wonderful job at highlighting his strengths, getting him on the move so he don't get sacked. Do one read, one pass, get down, tuck your head, run. So we had 100 and something rushing yards, which I think it was like 140, 160. When's the last time we've had rushing yards like that? I mean, between the quarterback and Cordarrelle Patterson, it looked amazing. The wide receiver room was probably one of the worst rooms last year. You saw the games like the Patriots game where you couldn't stretch the field, Panthers game where you lost by 3, where you couldn't really blow the top off with a receiver, or just create space with a receiver. This year, that room has changed tremendously. Zacchaeus is the only guy that's still in there, but Drake London, our rookie receiver, who had the best rookie receiver debut, he's looking good. I remember a lot of people were saying, oh, he's not the best receiver in the draft. Well, I mean, he looks like it, especially in this offense where their change of direction and stuff like that helps. He's creating space on one of the top corners. So I don't want us to just sit here and just negatively, oh man, it's the same old Falcons, because it's not. Coach put on a coaching clinic to highlight strengths on both sides, defense and offense. I don't think we have just a dominant pass rusher outside of Grady Jarrett, but every time we need it, we dialed up the correct pressure and got it. That's what I wanted. If you stop to run, if you look at the edges, they did good at containing, not letting things bounce outside, not letting the quarterback escape the pocket. So when you do stuff like that and stop the run, teams become predictable. I know he's about to drop back for a pass, so let's send a blitz right here, let's do this. And you saw that for a majority of the game until the last two drives. And I just want to say, I get online and I hear a lot of people saying that's coaching's fault, he got to stay on the gas, got to stay aggressive. No, you don't. You that's how you play game football, is situational. So you play that defense early on, now you're up. You want to play a soft type coverage so they catch the ball in front of you, you tackle them, and the time starts running. You waste time. I think that was the perfect coverage for what happened. So if you call soft coverage and they were throwing 5-yard passes and working up field, then I'd be like, okay, guys, let's change it up. But you call soft coverage that was preparing for a deep ball, and he threw 3 deep balls to get us back in the game, 3 of them to Jarvis Landry. To me, that's not on coaches. That's just on the players. And I hate to say it's on the players because they played outstanding for 90 snaps. And we're here sitting talking about 8 snaps that maybe changed the trajectory of the game. I think Casey Hayward has to be a little bit more aggressive in the soft coverage. Jump the ball. Stick with the receiver. Nobody's threatening deep thirds. You had Jarvis Landry, who at his best ran a 4.7, 4.8. He's not a speed guy. So I don't understand why you would just backpedal as if he's going to burn past you. AJ has to do better at situational awareness. I think he did the same thing where Jarvis Landry was on his side, and I know AJ's fast. Nobody threatened the deep third, so you don't have to backpedal as deep. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to say that from the couch, but that's what I would like to see them do. So when you have, say, if you got a two receiver side and the inside receiver, you got deep third, so you're watching whoever is threatening that side, but the inside receiver cuts it short. He's sitting 15 yards, something like that. Does a dig. He goes inside. That's somebody else's responsibility. Now you see the outside receiver coming up. I don't have to just backpedal. I need to go to this player because this is the only player threatening my zone. So I don't need to continue to guard the zone. I need to come to this player and plaster on this player. That's what I would like to happen. Those two touchdown passes on AJ, I'm not worried about it. I promise you I'm not worried about it. Michael Thomas, first of all, he played 100 snaps and only had 57 yards. Even though the two touchdowns were two touchdowns, they were back shoulder passes. They were amazingly placed balls by Jameis Winston, and it's kind of hard to stop that amazingly placed ball. AJ was there both times, so he could have did a little better, maybe reacting or whatever, but I'm not going to sit there and just pick apart AJ's game because he's one of the best defenders in the league. So he's not going to have too many bad games back to back to back. And in the whole season, he might have one bad game like this and then a game where it's like, okay, but he's not going to just be our weakest link. So I'm okay to die on that hill, especially when one of those plays were manufactured where you took your best receiver and put him in the slot so he can have all of that room to release, because obviously AJ was locking him up. So they did some things. And then, like I said, the 2 yard back shoulder passes, the 10 yard, like, okay, I'm cool with that. I'm going to die on that hill of AJ being man to man out there. So it's not like I want to change anything there. So like I said, just, I think the safeties have a big part of that. They're young. This is kind of their first real start, Richie Grant and Hawkins, to play all the way through. I know they're sharing snaps last year, but this time this is all the way through, and they got to do a better job of understanding zone and why I'm in this zone. So I feel like they those couple of deep passes, coach put the players in the perfect position to make a play. The safeties played a little lackadaisical. Like I said, if nobody's threatening your zone, your responsibility, you find the nearest team or the nearest opponent, nearest receiver, nearest running back, and you go plaster him. You go near him until somebody threatens your zone. But by that deep into the play, you kind of know the route combinations and the route concept. So it's like, okay, he's curling up here, he's curling up here. I don't need to keep backing up. I need to stand right here. So like on those long balls, I think it was just that. You're in soft coverage, so you want the defender, you want him to catch it in front of you, but I don't want him to make a big play. So if I'm just out here just chilling, like, go find the nearest players, play football. So that's the only critique I have. And like I said, I don't know the snap count, but out of 100 something plays, that was probably 5 plays that where I think we mentally got weak. And they'll, the more starts they have, the more they'll learn how to win. You got to learn how to win late in the game. So with the young DBs, I think they just kind of mentally lapsed at the end of the game. So I'm not really tripping, because I know, hey, they'll learn from that. Another thing that I see that a lot of people are talking about is going for it on 4th and 1. And I'm here to tell you the only time, and this is just my personal personal preference, when I see a chance to go for it, the only time I'm okay with going for it is if I have another chance to rectify that mistake. Say I don't get it. Do I have more time on the clock to get those points back? Like, okay, I need 10 points, so... Or you need like 7 points, so this field goal doesn't matter. I can still get a stop and can still get a score and get 7 points or something like that. You know what I mean? But in this situation, you didn't have enough time to rectify that mistake. You don't give a top defense like that one chance to win the game. Even though you feel as though you should be an offense that gets 1 yard, I just think as far as football situation goes, you kick it with 40 seconds left. They have no timeouts. In your head, that's the perfect situation. So I don't need to go for it on 4th and 1. A lot of people wanted him to and felt like that was like a coaching knock to him, like, oh, he didn't go for it. But like I said, you don't have time to rectify that situation. I don't give Tyrann Mathieu, Cam Jordan, Davenport, DeMario Thomas, Marcus May one chance to win the game. And that one chance, you know you're not going to throw a slant or anything. You're going to run it. So I don't, they're going to just shoot the gaps. And then what if we get stuffed? You give it to them on the 40 with 40 seconds left, one play, and they're back in field goal range. So I don't agree with he should have went for it right there and stayed aggressive because he didn't have enough time to rectify that mistake. If he would have went for it and didn't get it, y'all would have been like, oh man, we, he's, you know what I'm saying? You still would have knocked him. So I think the best thing in that situation was to take the penalty, get 5 extra yards for a punt. Give you space, you punt it. Defense just has to close there. You just need a true pass rusher to end your games, especially in an obvious situation like that where he's about to drop back. We had been rushing for most of the game. It was design pressures to where like one guy would drop back and another guy would shoot like a linebacker or blitz or whatever, but it was mostly four. It wasn't like just six sending the whole house. So you were getting home with four. But you just don't have that. Those were blitzes. You just don't have like a true pass rusher to end the game. So until you have that, you just have to keep playing the game. Like that's why I put it more so on the DBs, because situationally, you know what I'm saying? The DNs are a little bit tired. You know, the big heavy guys, it's hard to rush towards the end of the game, especially if you don't have any fresh guys. But with, like I said, 40 seconds left, no timeouts. Somebody should have made a play, took away all their passing options, had Jameis run, milk the clock, let him spike, let him do that game instead of just a 40-yard chunk play, 10-yard chunk play, field goal. Like, that's unacceptable. Then the drive before that, they just scored in four plays. Like, that's just, to me, that's on the DB, especially looking at it. So, like I said, I'm okay with the decision of not going for it. That was the smartest decision for that situation. But like I said, we did lose in a fashion that we're used to losing, but this is not the same team. There were so many improvements that I hate that we lost, because to the average fan, it's like, oh man, it's the same thing. But no, this is not. We ran the ball, which we usually don't run the ball. We ran the ball effectively. We have a rookie wide receiver who changed the wide receiver room. You still have Kyle Pitts. You got Cordell Patterson. The defense got 5 sacks. Didn't give up a lot of passing yards until the fourth quarter. Like I said, they gave up 20 yards. But I think that was because they did get a little lax in their mind. Even though I'm calling soft coverage, that doesn't mean play soft. Like, just, oh, we're out here. Like, still play aggressive, but you're just in soft coverage. So I can say, okay, I got deep third, so I'm not going to backpedal until he threatens me, which is he's maybe like 3 steps in front of me. Like, play a little aggressive closer to the man instead of like, okay, just leave him wide open. That's the only change I would have. But other than that, man, like I said, this O-line, y'all were telling me the O-line is the worst. How are we going to fix it? We got a quarterback on the move. Play calling. That was a play calling clinic, okay? I'm not going to talk about Marcus Mariota that much until he gets a little wind under his belt. He hasn't started in a while. So the fumble, like I said, the fumbles are going to happen because he's a running quarterback. You're going to fumble a lot just because, he's going to run. So I don't think that's the last fumble. I don't like the 3rd-and-1 fumble, but we'll clean that up. He was hesitant to throw some throws that were wide open that I think changed this game. But like I said, his strength was never a passing quarterback. So that's the give and take. Also, a lot of people aren't happy with Kyle Pitts' production, but Kyle didn't run the cleanest of routes, I'll say, to get open. And with a quarterback like Mariota, some of those passes you saw Matt Ryan throw last year, those were right on the money. I mean, guys were right. How many times you saw two people closing down in them on, and it went right to it went right to a spot. Like, oh my God, how did it fit in that window? How did it? Marcus is not that guy. So if he's not wide open, it's hard for me to say he's going to get to Kyle Pitts. And when you have a running quarterback who takes 11 design QB runs, that takes away touches from different players. So Matt Ryan threw it 42 times. Those 42 times, a different player was going to catch the ball. Not saying that Matt makes this team better or anything. Matt, probably because he's a veteran quarterback, wins this game. But the style of offense that we have, Matt doesn't fit. So it's cool that Marcus Mariota's in there. Like I've always said, this is a better fit for Marcus Mariota. And where Matt is, that's a better fit. But when you do call design runs and 11 runs, that takes away 11 touches from somebody, 5 and 5. Drake London only got 5 catches. He could have got 10 catches. Kyle Pitts, I think, only had 2 catches. He could have got 7 catches. So that's the trade-off. But like I said, it worked perfectly just because of how it looked and how the offense was. So we're on to the Rams. I think we can beat the Rams. The Rams are not as strong as they said they are. How they looked in the Super Bowl, that's not the same team. They're missing Von Miller. They're missing one of their linemen who retired. They're missing Odell Beckham. This is not the same team. We can go in L.A. and beat the Super Bowl champs. We can. I promise you we can, because if we play like we did last week, we can beat a lot of teams. I still see a 10-win season in this team. But hopefully another podcast will come out and some film breakdown soon. I didn't really like this film just because it was so much good film. And then it was like I said, 8-9 plays of bad film that created 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. So we'll look at it, get the all 22 and come back to y'all. But guys, stay excited. You have to be super excited about this season just because, like I said, it's hard to see, but Saints are supposed to be a top 10 Super Bowl contending playoff team. We were up 16 points. They only won by 1. We got better. We weren't supposed to compete with this team. Remember everybody saying it was a blowout. We weren't supposed to compete, but we did. So this team got better. And that's what I want to focus on. I don't want to focus on the negatives too much this season on the podcast, because I want to focus on the positive. It's still a rebuild. You look at the Jets. You look at the Giants. You look at Jacksonville. How long have they been rebuilding? And we got a whole lot better in 1 year than they have in like the last 5 years. So that's a positive, guys. And we got football, man. I love football season because it's a lot to talk about. You always watching something, games on Monday, Thursday. It's a good game on tonight, Thursday night. So watch that. But stay tuned, guys.